Stand by. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Experience the Revolution, WebSphere Portal for ZOS. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how WebSphere Portal for ZOS gives you the power to improve the productivity of tasks for line of business and IT administration and management, speed deployment of new solutions across the enterprise using its modular capabilities, and reduce costs as business users can automatically build their own portlets for integrating with back-end systems. The teleconference will be hosted by Bill Swatling, Senior Product Manager, WebSphere Portal. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to our speaker, Bill Swatling.
Thank you. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about WebSphere Portal for ZOS. In our WebSphere Portal version 6 release, we have three major focus areas of the release goals or things we're trying to accomplish with version 6. Our focus areas include improving efficiency and productivity. That's both of end users as well as portal administrators and those that work with the portal. The second focus area is accelerating application and content deployment. That is all the content, the news articles or press releases, as well as the application functionality delivered through the portal. So we want to make that easier to use, easy to get your portal up and going and to have the content and application functionality that you're looking for. And our third focus area is really around the system administrator and portal administrator roles, those who are responsible for installing and configuring and running that portal environment once it's up and going in production. So the presentation is kind of organized around these three focus areas, which really represent our strategy for WebSphere Portal and specifically Portal version 6. But really what we're after here is providing an environment to deliver personalized access to enterprise information, content, and applications in a reliable, scalable, and cost-effective way. So if we move to the next slide, you can see a screenshot of the default version 6 user interface. We have some user interface enhancements geared to make the portal more attractive and easier to use. First of all, we have updated the user interface and have new themes and skins. The portal default user interface is composed of JSPs generated by the portal, and these are, of course, always customized by the customer. But the default out-of-the-box user experience includes updates to the portal themes that use modern web techniques, including cascading style sheets, using absolute positioning and div tags to be able to make the portal user interface perform better as well as look better. We have a new support in the portal for an AJAX style of generating menus. So when you click on a menu item across the top of the portal user interface, the portal makes an asynchronous call back to the portal server to look up the personalized navigation for that user. And this is really one of the new AJAX features that we have, including in Portal 6, and we think there's a few other places where you have AJAX-like functionality in the user interface as well. One of those areas is using dynamic HTML to allow drag-and-drop portlets on the portal page. So if you want to customize the portal page to move a portlet from one column to the next, you just grab that portlet, drag it over to the new spot that you want it, release the mouse button, and then the portal page redraws with that new position for that portlet. We've introduced a new slide-out palette for commonly used portal functions that end users would want occasionally but don't want, you know, always on the screen. So this slide-out palette comes out, and one of those slide-out palettes is the portlet palette, which is the way to add new portlets to the page. Again, leveraging the dynamic HTML drag-and-drop functionality, we can drag a portlet out of the portlet palette, drop it on the page, and the page redraws with that new information there. We also have new slide-outs for the contact list, your same-time messaging buddy list, as well as the help for the page through a slide-out palette that you can slide out for when you need it and then slide it back and get it out of the way. So these new user interface enhancements make the portal more attractive and easier to use for end users as well as administrators. If we go to the next page, we can look at some new user interface enhancements to the Portal Document Manager component. The Portal Document Manager is a component of the portal that is really a browser-based file management system that enables a user to come to the portal, open up the page with the Document Manager on it, and be able to look at the documents in a hierarchical folder structure that enables them to kind of organize their files for themselves or for groups of people or really across the enterprise. In Portal 6, we've updated the user interface of the Document Manager to make it easier to use, including drag and drop in the browser, one-click edit, contextual menus, and an easy-to-use access control system that's integrated with the portal. The Document Manager component supports new features for importing files from a file system, which means that it makes a good replacement for Windows file servers and file shares. So where users might be accessing their folders through a Windows file share through Windows Explorer and have to manage those file connections themselves, now they can go to an easy-to-use browser window and have access to all those files. On the next slide, we can see some additional enhancements that we've made to the Document Manager component, really providing a new access method into the document management repository. The portal has a control that installs into the Windows desktop from the PDM portlet that enables these new functions, which are, as you can see from the top screenshot, a new Document Manager menu item within Microsoft Office applications. So from within a Microsoft application like PowerPoint, I can create a new presentation, go to the Document Manager menu, and upload it directly into the Portal Document Management Library. On the bottom screenshot, you can see the effect of this desktop component installed into the local Windows machine, which enables the Portal Document Manager to appear as a Windows file source, just like a shared network drive, so that all the things that I can do in Windows with the file menu, like open a file or save a file, I can do directly into the folders within Document Manager. This makes the Portal Document Manager a great tool for increasing productivity of desktop users. With this component, they can upload their files, use that from their local desktop while they're connected to the network inside the firewall, and then when they go home or remote access, or in an extranet environment, they can view those same documents and folders through the browser. On the next slide, we have some enhancements to the search component of Portal. Obviously related to documents is the Portal search engine includes support for indexing the portal, for indexing websites, and for also indexing the contents of the document repository in the portal. We've improved the usability of the search user interface in the portal, made the search API public, and made some enhancements to the portal engine to enable it to be searched by external search engines like Google. So this will, when you're using your portal for an external website, say for a portal for your business partners or a portal for consumers in general, that the portal pages can be found by searching through Google or other search engines, be able to index the contents of those pages and take you directly into the portal page. And so we have some special support for search engines using crawler-specific tags within the portal default pages. On page 7, we introduce a new component called the Workflow Builder. The Workflow Builder is really a new component in the portal that enables business users or portal administrators to create simple workflows that involve portal pages or portal documents for improving the productivity of knowledge workers. For example, a typical business process that you could automate through your portal would be one of bringing a new employee on board, the hiring process. As a part of that process, there's probably several different applications that you might need to go to, like requesting a phone extension, getting an email ID, getting passwords to the network, that the manager would have to do. And what the portal can be used for is really to define that workflow of all the steps that need to happen, and using the portal user interface as the method of exposing those applications to the different people that need to participate in that business process. So the Workflow Builder provides the tool within the browser to define the workflow, the steps in the activities that make up that business process, the roles or the people who have access to that or can perform those tasks, and then the actions that can take place as a part of that workflow. So, for example, as a part of workflow, you might need to connect to an external web service to retrieve some data. You might want to send an email notification when a given task has been performed. So the workflow builder provides support for automated tasks such as web service call and sending email. Under the covers, we're using the IBM BPEL engine, Business Process Choreographer, as part of WebShare Process Server. And so the workflow engine can take advantage of all those powerful features from Business Process Choreographer. On slide 8, we have some screenshots showing some of the new enhancements to the Common Personal Information Management portlets. We have focused on making the UI easier to use, as well as additional functional support for Microsoft Exchange 2003 and configuring the portlets to automatically discover the mail file, which we had been doing previously for Domino, we now do for Exchange as well. This is really a way to make your mail and calendar functions exposed within a browser outside of the typical desktop environment where you might have a Notes client or a Outlook client. On the next slide, we have some information about our new Domino and extended products portlets that are updated to support Domino 7 as well as additional capabilities as well as user interface enhancements to make these easier to use. So now on slide 10, we're ready to move into the next section talking about how we can accelerate application and content deployment. On slide 11, we're trying to introduce the concept of Portal as a platform for composite applications. And what that means is that really today the way that portals are used is really as a way to aggregate information from different data sources or different applications together in a composite window. That is a browser window that's made up of kind of a grid control of more than one portlet. And so even today, Portal supports that composite application model. But what we're doing in version 6 is really extending that concept of Portal composite applications to support some new application concepts such as templates, application context, membership, community, and application roles. Really trying to make the portal easier to use and be able to use in more situations, having more out-of-the-box framework features that developers and administrators can use to create and manage applications in the portal. We really feel that this is an emerging category of portal, really making portal a platform for delivering applications of all kinds. And as portals continue to mature and be used more and more in the enterprise, we see the kind of cutting edge or leading edge of the portal market is using the portal as a really mission-critical business tool for running mission-critical business applications. And so this set of functions dealing with portal as an application framework for composite applications really strengthens that role of the portal as kind of the front end of service-oriented architecture, providing the user interface that exposes the assets, the applications, and functionality and information that exist within the service-oriented architecture. So on slide 12, the first new concept to the portal composite application model is templates. So a template is really a way of really kind of capturing the structure of an application and saving it so that it can be reused by the next person that needs to create a similar application. So the idea is that you can create an application using this Portal Application Template Library that outlines the structure of the application, which is one or more pages with portlets on them. So the first time you want to create an application, you say, I want to create a new application. You create one or more pages. You place the components or portlets on those pages and then save that as a template. A typical application that this would be really useful for is team spaces. So you want to create a team space for your Java development community within your organization. But then once you've created that, everybody says, hey, that's a really good idea, but you know, I do development with Domino Designer, for example, so I want a community as well. And so now since the template exists, I don't have to go through all the steps of creating pages and putting portlets on them. I can just make a copy of that entire application from that template and then customize it from there, enabling me to not have to do everything from scratch, but to leverage the work that's gone into the first application of creating the template, and then I can just customize it to my needs. On slide 13, we have some new concepts relating to team spaces, which is the concept of membership and roles. What membership adds to Portal is really the ability to create applications or pages where people have access to them, but they don't really appear in their navigation or they have a way to navigate to them until they've become a member of that team space or that project. And so the membership and roles capability builds upon the Portal Access Control System that offers another layer of personalization so that people who come to the team space, they have a different role in one team space from another. So in the marketing team room, I may be the moderator or the owner, the administrator of that team space, but in the development team room, I may be just a regular viewer. And so with the roles management portlet, I can set the roles so that I can manage, you know, what people can do what things within my application or within my team space. The benefit of membership and roles is not only to support this kind of team space model of application, but also to provide the flexibility so that the line of business can manage the permissions and the functionality of the application rather than having a central IT group having to always, you know, provision or add users or set access control. This enables whoever's managing the team room to be able to change them without IT involvement, resulting in hopefully greater business flexibility. On slide 14, we have a tool that also supports these concepts of business flexibility and service-oriented architecture with WebSphere Portlet Factory. WebSphere Portlet Factory is the new name for the product that IBM acquired from Bow Street, or when we acquired the company Bow Street, at the end of last year. And now we've done the work to rebrand that as WebSphere, as well as supporting all of the strengths of the IBM portfolio, such as multi-language support, support for accessibility, all those things are done now in WebSphere Portlet Factory. But the value of a WebSphere Portlet Factory is really very closely aligned to a portal. And what Portlet Factory adds is really the ability to create very powerful, personalized portlets in a very easy way. What Portlet Factory does is really automate the process of building portlets so we don't have to write every line of Java code. The different patterns of the application are assembled using the Portlet Factory tool to offer a very flexible way to change portlet behavior as functions and to parameterize those functions so that they can be changed at a later time by the portal administrator or the line of business responsible for that portlet. And so Portlet Factory is a great tool for working, developing applications for WebSphere Portal. WebSphere Portlet Factory future releases on slide 15 will be aligned with WebSphere Portal. So when a new version of WebSphere Portal comes out, like version 6, there'll be a new version of Portlet Factory. So in WebSphere Portlet Factory version 6, we have some really focus on aligning Portlet Factory with WebSphere Portal, new features such as edit default mode, and doing the things to support cooperative portlets and some samples that really make using Portlet Factory out of the box, ready to go, and easy to make developers productive very quickly. On slide 16, we have another focus area about making the portal deployment go quicker is using our web content management tool. So WebSphere Portal includes a web content management component that enables you to create and manage content and publish it within the portal. Our focus area of the web content management component in Portal 6 is really two areas. One is around authoring usability enhancements. So you can see here a list of enhancements that really make the web content management component of Portal a powerful tool to use for publishing web content into the portal. The other things that we've done include improving the scalability and manageability of the web content management component with Portal. So one of our major enhancements to the infrastructure of web content management with Portal is the use of the Portal's built-in Java content repository. Portal's Java content repository was introduced in our last version of Portal, Portal 5.1, and offers a repository, you know, implemented in Java based on the JSR 170 specification. That's well integrated into the portal and the portal's access control model, but also integrated into the portal application in a way that the web content management as well as the other tools that use the document repository can scale along with the rest of WebSphere Portal. So now as you want to add additional web content management servers or new portal servers, the repository can scale up with them so that we can support really millions of documents and even up to hundreds of servers if your needs were that great. This new enhancement enables web content management to function just like regular WebSphere clustering, so we can take advantage of the horizontal clustering features of WebSphere to cluster our web content management servers as well. Another acquisition that IBM has done that adds value to Portal is a company called PureEdge, which IBM acquired last year, and we've rebranded their product as Workplace Forms. The intersection of Forms and Portal is really around making it easy to deploy applications or content that integrate with a portal. The Forms capability can complement that message by providing the Workplace Forms Designer, which is a tool that enables business users to create layout forms, and providing an integration of that with the portal so that from the Workplace Forms Designer, we can publish forms to the portal to be stored in the Java Content Repository and accessed with the Portal Document Manager so that users can come into the portal through the Workplace Forms Viewer, access the forms that are stored in the Java Content Repository, be able to save them. The new save version of the form gets saved back to the document repository and can go through a workflow approval process so that it requires an approval before that form moves on to the next step and is stored as the final version in the content repository. On slide 19, you can see kind of a screenshot of viewing a form within the Portal Document Manager, and you can see that the form is very high fidelity, high function, offers pixel perfect rendering of a form application so that users can match up the form with what they might have received normally as a paper form. Now as an electronic form, it looks the same and it has the attractiveness and high quality that would reflect your high quality business processes. Now we'll move into the last part of the presentation to talk about the features for system administrators and portal administrators to enable them to more effectively, responsively, and reliably administer and manage the portal environment. So on slide 21, we'll talk about the new advanced personalization feature of WebSphere Portal. This is a tool for portal administrators that enable them to provide a higher level of personalization to be more targeted than we can with just the portal access control system alone. With portal access control, we can set what pages and portlets a user gets based on their user or group membership so that I can have people who are in a particular department or division see certain pages. With this new advanced personalization feature, I can use a business rules engine inside of the portal to create really simple business rules using a portal browser-based user interface, kind of a point and click. If you can see in the bottom screenshot, it's maybe a little bit small there, but by clicking on those and going through a step-by-step wizard, I can define a business rule such as show this page when the user's country in their user profile is Canada or U.S. or France or whatever. I can target this page to be shown to people with certain attributes in their user profile. I can also create business rules that are based on other parameters known to the portal. For example, a browser version, something in the request object, or something to do with time of day or day of week. So for example, I might want to create in an HR portal a benefits enrollment page that appears at the beginning of the benefits enrollment period, say September 1st, and disappears on November 1st. And so I can create a business rule that says, show the benefits enrollment page from the period September 1st through September 30th. And so the rules engine allows me to create complex rules that enable a very high level of personalization based on anything in the user attributes, things existing in the environment, time of day, day of week, or through extensibility customization, you can bring any data element, any parameter. For example, if you want to base whether a portlet shows up or not based on inventory level, there's a way to hook in a Java class that exposes that inventory level to the portal, to the business rules engine, and then you can make decisions based on that business rule. The top screenshot shows the Manage Pages portlet that enables you to do those same personalization rules and select it for whether a portlet would appear or not. So you can have a certain portlet appear to managers that doesn't appear to people who are not managers, for example. On page 22, we have some new features around policy. And policy is really an extension to the programming model, offering another level of customization, a way to create some parameters or variables that applications or other components of the portal can take advantage of to personalize them when those components are used in the portal. So, for example, I could create a policy definition for storage space of documents, and I could say that for managers, they get 60 megabytes of storage, and regular employees get 10 megabytes of storage. And all of the applications within my portal can go look up this policy value and say, please give me the policy value for the current user for amount of document storage that they have available to use. And so it really takes the responsibility for maintaining that and defining that parameter away from the portlet developer and gives that power to the portal administrator. So the portal administrator can change that at any time, and then the portlet can respond to that value automatically. So really what policy is a way of creating kind of like global variables, site-wide personalization of applications content or look and feel of the portal. So I could use policy within the theme of the portal, for example. And in fact, in Portal 6, we do use policy out of the box for the portal themes. The next slide will talk about the multiple LDAP support that we have in version 6. So as you probably know, the portal is configured to point to an LDAP server for all of the users that have access to the portal. And so when a user comes to the portal, they come to authenticate, the portal kind of passes that username and password off to the LDAP server to decide if the user is authenticated and has access to the portal. And so the new feature in Portal 6 is the ability to connect more than one LDAP server to the portal so that when I have the case of keeping different kinds of users or different classes of users in different LDAP servers, I can have all those users, regardless of which repository their user profile is stored in, they can still access the portal. The most common usage scenario of this feature is probably in an extranet environment where I want to provide a portal for my business partners, but I also need my employees to be able to log into that portal. So in LDAP 1, I have my customers, and in LDAP 2, I have partners, LDAP 3, I have employees, and all of those users, regardless of which LDAP their user profile is in, are able to log into the same portal. The multiple LDAP support also applies to the virtual portal feature of WebSphere Portal, which enables me to kind of create different portal instances. We call these virtual portal because they're still using the same copy of the portal software, but to an end user, they look like totally separate portals. So I can assign one LDAP to one virtual portal and another LDAP to another virtual portal, or segment my LDAP server so that one LDAP server supports more than one virtual portal. And really the point here is being flexible around where my users are stored and offering for the portal administrator the ability to hook my portal up to more than one LDAP server so that all the users, regardless of which server their user profile is in, can have access to the same portal instance. On slide 24, we have the new portal configuration split item. Now, this feature really isn't visible at all through the portal user interface to end users or administrators, but it's really a restructuring of the data storage mechanism underneath portal. So we have kind of four buckets or, you know, types of configuration data that the portal has and needs in order to run. The configuration data is really kind of things that are stored on the file system, the class files for portlets, the property files that define the configuration of the portal. And these things now in Portal 6 are managed in a way such that WebSphere clustering file replicator can manage these files, so that when I want to add a new machine into the cluster, it can get the configuration data that those files can be replicated to the new server. The release data is really kind of in the sense of a portal pages and the particular portlet instances associated with those pages, including their default modes and state and default configuration values. That is separate from the customization data, which is, you know, what users do to customize their portal. So users can create their own pages. They can change the layout of a particular page, like move a portlet from one column to another on the same page. And they also have the edit values of their portlets. For example, in a bookmarks portlet, they can put their own favorite URLs. In prior versions of Portal, the release data and customization data have been stored together, really in a way that they're tightly linked. And in Portal 6, we've separated those two, which really enables a couple of different features and benefits. One of the primary benefits is really an easier way to do maintenance. Since these things are separated, they can be backed up and restored separately. They're really separate databases within the portal infrastructure, so I can back them up and restore them independently of each other. It also enables a new configuration scenario for the portal, in which I might want to geographically separate two portal instances or two portal clusters to provide a greater level of redundancy or perhaps, you know, a greater access fees for people in accessing the portal from two different geographies. By setting up my portal so that my user customization data is replicated, I can have my users be able to log in one portal, let's say in the U.S., change their stock portfolio, and that, you know, configuration data for that particular portlet, that user data, is stored in a separate database than the portal page data. And by setting up my relational database that stores my user data with database replication, I can automatically replicate that data to my portal cluster running, say, in Europe, so that when a user logs in then to the European portal and goes to their portal page with a stock quote portlet, even though that's a separate portal instance, because it's hooked up to that replicated user database, they can then see that their stock portfolio is just the way they left it last time from their portal in the U.S. So whether I want to do a geographically dispersed portal or just have users be able to log into different portals and still have their user data the same, this really offers a capability that wasn't possible with previous version of WebSER Portal. The last slide will talk about the performance focus areas for WebSER Portal. So with Portal 5.1, we've had a lot of customers. We have nearly 4,000 customers now. Those customers are using the portal in more and more different ways, but also supporting larger number of users. And so performance is, of course, a very important thing for them to look for IBM to be able to support their deployments. With Portal 5.1, we have users with tens of millions of users, with tens of thousands of concurrent users and thousands of transactions per second. So in terms of scalability, WebSER Portal does really well. In fact, I am confident to say that we're the most scalable portal in the enterprise portal market. What we're focusing on for Portal 6 is really focusing on supporting portal sites with lots of pages in them. So for some of our intranet customers who give end users the ability to customize pages or using delegated administration features enable department heads or team leaders to create their own portal pages, we see those portals becoming very large in terms of numbers of pages. We have some customers now with 2,000 and 3,000 pages in an intranet portal. And so what we're doing in Portal 6 is really improving the scalability of portal sites with large numbers of pages, large amounts of content. And this will make a portal really scalable both in terms of, you know, number of users as well as, you know, number of pages or content in the portal. A second focus area for us in Portal is linear scaling of the portal by adding CPUs. So that is within a particular machine, you know, being able to go from two CPU to four CPUs in the same machine and get closer to linear scaling than we do today. And this is really, you know, for our developers looking inside the portal and finding those bottlenecks and getting rid of those so that we can achieve better linear scaling so that portal can be run on bigger machines and be able to benefit from those additional CPUs. So in conclusion, I think that you've seen that we have really a rich set of new features coming in WebSER Portal 6. We have new features focusing on what end users, how they interact with the portal, making the portal easier for them to use. We have a set of features geared towards those, you know, content developers and application developers and building rich composite applications. And we have a lot of new features making it easier for portal administrators and system administrators to manage that portal environment. And we're confident that WebSER Portal 6 will be a great release and that you can be successful with your enterprise portal deployment. And so now I'll turn it back over to the moderator, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Bill. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all the options before making your selection. For question one, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. And we'll pause to collect the responses. And question 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Once again, we'll pause. Question 3, do you have a portal solution installed? If it is on a distributed environment, press star 1. If it is on the mainframe, press star 2. If you don't have one running, press star 3. Question 4, please indicate your general job category. If you are a line of business manager, press star 1. If you are an IT manager, press star 2. If you are in another category, press star 3. Question 5, do you have a portal project planned? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And our last question for today, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1, and if no, press star 2. That does conclude our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. And do keep in mind that if you're joining on a speakerphone, to please pick up your handset to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, that is star 1 for questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Bill and John while we do wait for questions.
Thank you. This is Bill. I'd like to start off with a question probably people are now pushing the buttons to try and ask. And that's, what is the difference between Webster portal on the ZOS versus the other platforms? So, John, could you answer that one?
Sure, Bill. The simple answer is the product is identical across all the platforms that we support, including ZOS. The same things that were unique about the product in the previous version are still unique in version 6, and that is the installation. The product installs like a ZOS product. It's managed like a ZOS server. But once the product is actually installed and laid down, all the functions that Bill talked about this morning are available to you as the customer. There are no restrictions. The product is almost 100% Java running on ZOS. So, of course, it's eligible for special pricing if you're using the ZAP processor. So that's one of the advantages of running on ZOS. But as far as functionality, the product is exactly the same. It's engineered to be exactly the same. We want our customers to be able to easily move from one platform to the other and be able to choose the deployment platform based on the qualities of service that you, the customer, require.
Okay, we'll take questions now from the callers on the phone.
Thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, that is star 1 for questions. And, gentlemen, we have no questions at this time, but I would like to remind the audience that is star 1. And we do have a question from Tim Lawrenceville. Tim, please go ahead.
Have you seen much adoption of Portal NC, and if so, what's been the general experience there?
I'll take this, Bill. We have Z installations in progress at a number of sites, both in the U.S. domestically and in Europe and Asia. We don't have any customers yet in production, but we have some that are very close, and we expect to have some referenceable accounts over the summer. We're also doing a case study with one of our customers and his experiences, and we also expect that to be available a little bit later this year.
Anything else, Tim?
Have you seen any major differences, like as far as like performance and scalability, or are there any driving things that would push you onto that platform versus another?
And the short answer is performance is not something that would drive you on to ZOS. In comparable configurations, the server performs equally well on ZOS. We found it scales a little bit better than it does on other platforms due to the underlying architecture of the application server. It's a little bit easier, I think, to configure and maintain the server environment on ZOS. But like I say, performance—I wouldn't consider performance to be a determining factor in where I place the server.
And what about the install? Can you do multiple installs on an LPAR? Like if you wanted to have multiple portal clusters?
Yes, you may do multiple configurations on a single LPAR. Some of the things that enable that are the changes that Bill talked about in terms of configuration split. We also made some changes in the way we configure our database schemas so that you can actually now pretty easily define multiple portal configurations talking to the same DB2 subsystem. Now, having said that, on a single system, I haven't found a lot of good reasons to deploy more than one portal instance. About the only reason I can think of to do that would be if I had distinct execution environments that I was trying to set up for different parts of my development cycle, things like development versus function test versus QA and production. If you're going to go to any kind of an availability solution, then I would always recommend that you move to a Sysplex configuration and portal horizontal scaling across that Sysplex.
Okay. And one more question. Do you have any performance data on version 6, regardless of that?
We have some performance data available. It probably won't do what you want. It's not going to compare platforms against one another. We don't do that in IBM, but we have some baseline measurements based on the benchmarks that we typically run against Portal on the other platforms. We've run those benchmarks in a slightly modified way on ZOS, and that data is available. And if you send me a note to my email address, then I can make that available to you.
Okay. What was your email?
Is that available on the conference somewhere, Bill? Did you put that in the materials?
No, I didn't.
Okay. My email is jtgates@us.ibm.com.
Thanks. And gentlemen, we have no further questions at this time. Mr. Swetling, I'll turn the conference back to you, sir.
All right. I'd like to thank everybody for coming to the conference. I appreciate your interest in Webster Portal on ZOS. And if you'd like to find out more information, John just mentioned his email address. My email address is bswat@us.ibm.com. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference. On behalf of IBM, I would like to thank you for your participation. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay.